Thank the Lord. I'm so excited tonight. I really am on the subject that I'll be teaching, and I'm going to dive right in. I asked Chad to go ahead and do it the way we did it tonight so I can have plenty of time, because I'm going to need plenty of time. And I believe it'll be a blessing to you. I want you to go back into Revelation 13. We have, I think, pretty thoroughly went over the first 10 verses. And now I'm going to start with verses 11 through 18. We have been we've been talking about the satanic trinity. The dragon, or the Lucifer, and the beast. But now we're going to deal with the third person of the Trinity. I believe when we get into this passage, I can say this really firmly, we're treading on what I call is unholy ground. The most unholy, blasphemous ground that you can walk on. Would everybody agree with me that Satan is an imitator? God's a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of folk today that don't believe in the Trinity. But the Bible plainly teaches the Trinity. How many read Genesis where it makes this statement? You ever thought about this statement? Let what? Right, Lois. Let us. Well, who's the us? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But Satan, being the imitator that he is, has an unholy trinity. Composed of Satan, the Antichrist, and we are going to be dealing tonight, and it may take a week or two, depends how deep I get into it, how broad I make it, and I'll just let the Holy Ghost tell me that. But we got Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Each member of the Holy Trinity has a special purpose. How many of y'all believe that? God the Father receives the worship of His people through God the Son. And the Holy Ghost is the facilitator of holy worship. How many of y'all agree with me? You can't really have real worship unless the Holy Ghost facilitates it. And Satan is an imitator. I said that. His desire is to be worshiped. He said, I want to make my throne above God's throne. He's an imitator. He wants worship. He gets worship through the person of the Antichrist. And we'll learn tonight that the false prophet facilitates this worship as the Holy Ghost facilitates our worship. What kind of worship do we do? They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and truth. Now let's look at these verses. I'll read from 11 to 18, then go verse by verse. And I kind of got this broke down in three levels. And it's almost like three sermons or three titles, but it's dealing with the same subject. So kind of mind that when I get into this. And I beheld another beast. Now, that word another we're going to deal with in a moment. It's translated allos, means another of the same kind and quality. By the way, if you go to Revelation 19 and 20, them two, the false prophet and the beast, is going to get cast into the bottomless pit together. Because they deserve it. Now let's look at the verses. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. He spake as a dragon. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. What's the Holy Ghost do? Come on now, help me. Who's the Holy Ghost point us to? Christ. And this facilitator, this false prophet, is going to point the whole world to the beast so the world will worship the beast. Does that make sense to you? And look what the Bible says. And let me read that verse again. He exercises all the power of the first beast and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. I believe that the Antichrist is going to die and resurrect. A false resurrection. A unholy resurrection. Because the Bible said he was and is and shall come. Look at verse 13. And he doeth great wonders. Now somebody asked me a question. Does the devil do great wonders? I believe he can. I don't understand that concept totally, but I believe he can. Right here it says he does. And those wonders, you can put another word in there without doing any harm. We're not correcting the King James. We're just going a little further with it. Or miracles. So that he make a fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. We'll discuss who did that before. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. Boy, this is going to be good tonight. I know a lot of you are interested in that and what's to follow, the number 666. And he did live. And he deceived them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which hath the wound by sword. And he did live, again, amplifying the miracle of the resurrection of the beast. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Boy, I got some stuff on that tonight that I think in the day we're living gives us more insight on how this is going to happen. Now, I'll mention a couple of things tonight. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both what? Speak. And cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Or foreheads. That no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Man, that's a lot of content, Brother Rich. I mean, We're in a big area now. Let me give you several things. You have an outline. I chose to give you some room on the outline if you wanted to note something. And if you want to do that, you do that tonight. But look at verse number 11, first of all. Let's talk about the personality of this beast. Let's just look at his personality. First of all, what he displays. As I said a little while ago, the word another there translated the Greek word allos, another of the same kind. Now let's notice these beasts. This beast has horns. which are a symbol. When you see horns in the Bible, it's a symbol of power. You remember the brazen altar? It had four horns. Speaking of the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the power of the gospel. Boy, I feel a little preach coming on right there. He had horns, speaking of his power. He had two horns. Why two horns? How many of y'all know what the number two is in numerology? It's testimony. The number two is testimony. While the first beast had power because of the territory he ruled, the second beast will have power because of the testimony he gives. Y'all with me? Now let's just look at it. The first beast had 10 horns. This beast, Chad, had two horns. The first beast had 10 crowns. This beast has no crowns. The first beast is described by terrifying language as a leopard, a lion, and a bear. This beast is called a what? Lamb. The first beast came as a powerful political world leader. By the way, I may even talk about it a little bit tonight, but how many's ever read the book, The Two Babylons? A few of you. It's a masterpiece to get. And it'll help you understand Revelation. Because we're going to get into a little while, and we'll explain two Babylons to you. Let me say this to you. Good Lord, I feel some preaching coming on me right now. Let me say this to you right now. There is going to be a religious harlot, and the Bible is bold enough to say, whore. False religion. And I believe the false prophet will lead it. And then in chapter 18, it talks about a political Babylon. Now listen, this is great. I hope I'm not getting ahead of myself, but I'm really getting excited right now. This is awesome. Listen. In chapter 17, there's going to be a harlot Babylon that's led by the false prophet until that religious organization asserts too much authority, and the Antichrist himself is going to destroy his own church. And you say, well, what about the second Babylon, chapter 18, which is the political system? Let me give you this thought. The Bible says the destruction of Babylon will be in 1 hour. Let me ask y'all a question. What can destroy a nation or a group of nations in 1 hour? Right now, as I speak, boy, I don't mean to get ahead of myself, but I want to touch on this. Right now, as I speak, North Korea, China. North Korea right now has missiles, can hit anywhere in the United States of America, any city, right now. And that nuthead over there, really, I believe would use them. I really do. And by the way, I think he'll be a part of that China Confederacy. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm going to give you all another view of Babylon when I get there, but I'll save that for a minute. Now, this beast, as we noticed, came forth as a lamb, and he comes forth, Chad, meek, and he's a religious gentleman. Now, you might say, in our world today, Preacher Smith, who would you compare him to? I'm glad you asked, because he's going to have charisma. He's going to have a gentle nature, kind of lovey-dovey type. You know what I mean? Let me think. I just had a revelation of two guys he reminds me of. Joel Osteen and Robert Shuler. Ever heard both of them? The little silver-tongued devils. Now, this false prophet is a culmination of what Jesus said, there'll be many false prophets. How many of y'all agree with me? There's a lot of false prophets in the world today. I want you to know, anyone that preaches the gospel other than the death, the burial, and the resurrection is a false prophet. Anybody that preaches anything but then by grace are you saved through faith and that not of yourselves, but it's a gift of God, is a false prophet. Anybody that adds to salvation is a false prophet. And Jesus in chapter 7 of Matthew warned of them. And this is the final one. Wow. A lot of preaching in what he declares. By the way, how many agree? Sometimes you just can't judge a book by its cover. He comes as a lamb. He comes gentle. On the outside, like old Joe Osteen, he's even got a box. You know, Joe Osteen's got a box you can get, and you can get stuff out, and he says real sweet, lovely stuff to you to make you feel warm and fuzzy, make you feel right with God, whether you are or not. Well, this guy here is going to be so on the outside, he's going to be so fluffy and warm, but on the inside, Jesus called them raven wolves, and he is the ultimate raven wolf. See, he acts like a man of faith. And he speaks the words of a dragon. He is the mouthpiece of Satan himself. Boy, I tell you, that's kind of thought-provoking, isn't it? Look at verse number 12. Let's move on. I'm moving where I want to. I want you to notice not only the personality of this beast, but the power of this beast. Look at verse 12. Are you there? And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. The source of his power is the same source as the beast power, and that or the Antichrist, and that is Satan himself. And by the way, the source of the power of the false prophets on this earth today, right now, is Satan himself. By the way, I'll just tell you this. There's only two kinds of religions in the world. You say, well, no, there's thousands of them. But you can put them down to two. A religion of grace through faith, or a religion of works. You say, a religion that says I depend on God only, or a religion says it's God plus something. Y'all with me? The world will accept this man as a man of God. He's a false prophet. He's a raving wolf. But the world will say that is a man of God. And I look out today, we're in a world that is deceived, aren't we? I mean, I'm talking about deception. I mean, there's some folks that are preaching stuff. Oh, it sounds real lovely on the outside. But it's full of wickedness. Amen. Then the scope of his power. Let's look at that. This man will be a facilitator of a vast worldwide religion. A one world faith. Now, just a little so I can give you a little taste. I want y'all to be introduced to that one world faith just a little bit. I told you I may be a few weeks with this, or a couple here anyway. Is that okay? Because this is good stuff, and I don't want to just rush over it. I want to show you the worldwide religion. Would you go with me to chapter 17 for a moment? I will not cover this thoroughly tonight because I'll be doing it when we go verse by verse. But I do want you to at least see this. Look at chapter 17. Are y'all there? In verse 1, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vows and talked with me, saying unto me, come up hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that setteth up on many waters. This is a worldwide religion. Y'all with me? With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Rich, church, rich, rich. Well, let me ask you, who do you think's the richest church in the world? Do you have any idea? It's the Roman church. It's the universal Catholic church. Now, I'm not trying to be offensive tonight. I'm just being biblical. Now, you said, can you prove that? I wouldn't say it if I couldn't prove it. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and collared and decked with gold and had a lot of ceremony about her. By the way, how many agree religion with ceremony only is dead? Verse 5, upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. And listen to this. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. Now stop a minute. Some of you may not be educated in this, but I want to educate you just this much. This woman has always been a persecutor of the faith. You just read back in the Dark Ages. Y'all all know that. She persecuted. I've been to several places where I saw where they burned brethren into stake. I was in Switzerland one time, and I went to one of the rivers where one of our great, and I can't think of his name right now, one of our great patriarchs of the Baptist faith was drowned in that river. And it was because of that woman. But see, she hadn't changed. Because in the tribulation, she's going to do the same thing she did before. Because the tribulation saints are going to be killed by her. Y'all with me? And by the way, she's going to sit on the seven hills of Rome, right? Those seven heads are the seven hills of Rome. She's Romish. How many of y'all know the history of the universal church? Constantine, when he could not wipe out the true church, you know what he did? He said, I'm going to make the state a church. And he started out, by the way, y'all want to know where sprinkling come from? It's not biblical, by the way. It's not baptism, by the way. You know where it came from? Constantine. He was sprinkling. You know what he done? He tried to imitate the Baptists. But he was going to do babies and make them members of the church. So he put them in water and baptized them and killed them. And they wanted to dethrone him. Then he said, I'm going to sprinkle. And that's where it started. But sprinkling's not baptism. You're buried with Christ and raised to walk in the newness of life. Y'all all with me? Now, you listen carefully, because I've been thinking about this a lot. men and women of every conceivable religion will bow down and worship the Antichrist. And I'm going to say something to you. This may come a little bit sharp. There'll be Baptists bowing down. There'll be Baptists not raptured and left behind. And they'll bow down. Now, this guy is going to be able to solve problems, Chad. He's going to be able, here's what he's going to do. He's going to be able to convince a Jew and a Muslim and a Methodist or a Baptist or whatever and a Catholic all to join. They're going to join. He will convince them with his miracles. Now, this is a teaching moment. And again, I'm not throwing stones at somebody, but you need to understand this. Are y'all understanding this? There is Baptist churches, or used to be Baptist. Some of them got kicked out of the Baptist convention. There's two different groups. One that is yoking Judaism and traditional Christianity together. And the other one is yoking Islam and traditional Christianity together. You know that, and I know it. There's a famous guy that wrote a famous book that believes that way. Am I correct? He believes that way. Oh, he wrote a famous book. Probably some of you read his book. And I want to tell you, it was a pretty good book. But I want you to know, in my mind, he's a false prophet. Because you can't mix law and grace. You can't mix Muhammad with Jesus. Amen. But this man, this false prophet, by his miracles, will, Chad, convince the whole world to follow him. And by the way, there'll be a big group, but not everybody will follow him. And we'll see that in a moment. Let's look at number 3, verse 13 through 15. Boy, I may get through the first section of this tonight. I hope I'm not moving too fast. I'm trying to make sure you get it. Now look at verses 13 through 15. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the womb by sword, and he did live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Here's where we're really going to slow down, Joe. Let's look at this first of all, his miracles. Can I ask you who did he imitate in his first miracle, Chad? Anybody know? Elijah. Caused fire to come down. He's imitating the prophet Elijah. And then he builds an image. Now, I want to ask the class this. This is important. I want you to know. Did anybody ever do that before? Come on, class. Come on. Yes. No, not Herod. That's not. He did, but that's not the one I was referring to, because the one I'm referring to distinctly says image. Nebuchadnezzar. And by the way, it's kind of fascinating. I love fascinating. How many love fascinating stuff? I may get to that in a moment. I'm getting ahead of myself, and I'm trying not to, but I am. So I won't, but Nebuchadnezzar built an image. What did he do? Then he got some kind of music. By the way, music is a great force in this world. Ladies, tonight, that great song, both of y'all, groups of ladies, I'm telling you, those songs stirred my heart. You know why? They were spirit-led. They were spirit-empowered. They were according to the Bible. But I want you to know something. Music has took a big part in Christendom today. And some of it not for good. And I won't go on record. I'm not against every new song that comes out. Hey, Lois just wrote a new song. He took one of my titles in my sermon. That's awesome. Not the sermon, but your soul was. It's awesome. Music's powerful. But do you know the devil uses me? He used music in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. When did they have to bow? At music. By the way, there's still a bunch of people bowing at music. There's a lot of religion. Hey, there's some people in the Baptist churches, some Baptist churches, that's walking real thin line with me. They're just too far. And I wish, you know, some of them preach real good. I just wish they'd move a little bit. But that's just me. But he had some miracles. How many? Lord, this might bring up more carnality than I want. How many's ever been to Las Vegas? Come on, confess. I've been near there. I haven't been there. How many's ever been to Caesar's Palace? Now, I don't know if this is still there or not, but you tell me. But in Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, there are three great fountains inside the part of that building. You that's been there. And it looks like a Roman street. It does. And there is even a sky with clouds overhead. And at the top of every hour, two of these fountains come to light. And the statues in the fountains begin to move and talk to one another. And one of the fountains tells and acts out the story of the fall of Atlantis. Actually, they have that going on. Now, the image that this false prophet is going to create is going to come alive and talk. Going to talk and come alive. Image. Now, Nebuchadnezzar's didn't. As far as I'm concerned, it didn't. But this one will. So, let's just let our little imagination go there a minute. Do you know why? Listen, man, I'm trying to tell y'all something. I really believe we were at the end. Because, see, we're seeing things in this world that potentially, Jessica, potentially could bring about what I'm talking about. How you make an image alive and speak. Now, we know there's a computer in Luxembourg called the Beast that's a rich speech, hundreds of languages. I think every language. By the way, it has your social security number in it, too. I'm telling the truth. So what can make that image? Well, this is not too far-fetched. I just think, what's the big thing now, Chad? Tell me real loud. Artificial intelligence. It's everywhere. They've already got things, whatever, robots,
that look a lot like you. And it ain't far from me to think the devil will use that industry. Now, I'm not saying that's what he's going to do, but he can perform the miracle and make the thing speak. And he may. But you're living in a time right before your eyes that AI has become, it's almost got to a place, it's even scaring some people. Elon Musk, who's probably one of the richest guys in the world, if not the richest. I think he is the richest now, just becoming again. He said it's dangerous. You know, he's got electric cars and he's got all kinds of gizmos. But he talked about the danger of it. Do you not think the devil could use something like that? You know, some of us, we're living in this time, and I know our lives are fast, aren't they? And I know they are, but you know, there's a lot of stuff we're seeing that is leading to a one-world government, a one-world religion, right before your eyes. Oh, no, I'll get to it next week, and it'll be more in next week's sermon, but let me give you this to go along with this. You do know that the powers that be in the White House right now, the man in the White House now and his party, and I ain't preaching Democrat or Republican, I'm just telling the truth here. Do you know what one of his goals was before he finished his term? You listen carefully. A cashless society. How many of y'all been to places you couldn't use cash? Mark and I go on a vacation to a certain place, and they won't let you use cash. Used to. See, it's going to have to. See, to be a one-world leader, you've got to control the monetary system. Am I right, Brother Collins? That controls the whole world. And you know I'm telling the truth that we're heading toward a cashless society because the government wants to control everything. I'll deal with that more next week, okay? Any of y'all got any questions in your mind? How many's thinking? Now, I'm going to quit on time tonight. I'm going to try. You know the rapture, millions are going to be going missing. Now, somebody asked me, has there ever been miracles before? Well, in Copper Ridge Church, Baptist Church in Knoxville, three strange crosses of light appeared in the windows of the church. And they say miraculous healings followed. In the home of Salem and Ruscana Patel in Bolton, England, had 50 visitors a day coming to see a miraculous eggplant. And the miracle in this eggplant, in this dream, in this local shop, was slicing that vegetable in half, and she saw the seeds were formed in a Muslim symbol called Yah Allah, or Allah exists. I want y'all all to know Allah doesn't exist. A likeness of Buddha appeared in a bathroom window, and a rainbow of stream of lights from that image. You say, I don't believe none of that junk. I do. You don't believe in satanic power? You don't believe in demonic possession? I know some folks I think might be demon possessed. There's people scare me. I believe it. Now, I got to stop, and I'm stopping. But it's hard to stop when you're moving. My question to you tonight, I let you know that it's coming. But can I ask you a question? How many of you in this room, if Christ came for the rapture, and some of this stuff I'm talking about is going to be in the tribulation, but we're seeing it come on now. How many of y'all know for sure you're saved? Raise your hand. Just raise them up high. Thank you. How many right now say, preacher, I don't want to be left behind for that. I want to be saved. I want to know Christ. I'd like for you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand? If you're not saved, but you'd like to be, you'd like to know Christ. God bless you. Would you stand? Lord, just sing a verse. I'll pray. And if you're lost, you come tonight. If you're here backslidden, you come tonight.